back to today's sermon. The title is, Give Me Oil in My Lamp, Keep Me Burning. Who remembers that? Who sang that at school? Oh, man, I listened to it again just in preparation. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. I want to ask, are you burning? No, I'm not. Nie soebrand nie. Nie garage pie nie, nie. Brand jou hart vir Jesus. Is there oil in your lamp? That's the bottom line in the question that we get posed with today. Why am I asking this? We're building on last week as we head into the next part of this season. On Monday mornings, Pietri and I do a reflection on Sundays. How did it go? What do you think what can we work on? What is God's heart? Just to ultimately please the Lord, not to please man. It's not what we do. It's not how we build. It is to please God and say, hey, Lord, we don't want to miss your mark. We want to just be with you and make sure that we do what is on your heart. And so I love Petri's reflection this last Monday after I shared that word on Noah. And he said, yeah, it's good. It's nice, but what are we going to do with it? His question always is, Petri, you can maybe put it in better words. How are we going to apply it? Will this actually change people's lives? And Petri is that kind of correct. He's a teacher, so it might technically be a bit off. But the heart is it just another message that we hear and we just go on with life? Or is it something that we hit the pause button, we reflect on, we say, Lord, help me. And we take it abroad and we see our life ultimately change. And so last week we shared from a vision and a prophetic word that I got, very simply, the Ark of Noah, and the words I heard was, as in the days of Noah. Karin then shared her dream about the rapture. And yes, we're going there. We're going deep emotionally, spiritually. And yes, we're going to rapture and end times. This is an interesting church. Buckle up. We're not always that interesting. But here's the thing is if the Lord through His Spirit says, hey man, you need to be awake of the times that you're in. Christ is coming back. Guess what? It's not just so that we can keep people's ears tickled. No, it is because the Lord is maybe forewarning in love as a good king and as a good father, Father God, saying, hey, children, be awake. Don't be caught up in culture. Don't be caught up in this day and age because as pilgrims, you need to be awake that Christ is actually returning. You're part of a much bigger story. So we looked at Noah and we asked ourselves, what does it mean as in the days of Noah? I'm not going to do that again, but we looked at Noah biblically because it's always good if you get prophecies to look at it in biblical context. What does it mean? Otherwise, we can make up stuff and we can become all fluffy Christians. Full of hype, full of emotions, full of airy-fairy, cloudy stuff, and it's not based upon Scripture. So we go back to Scripture and we say, what was Noah up to and why did he do it? And we see four things of Noah which I read and realized again. Firstly, Noah had favor with God. He had grace and favor, something we need. Secondly, he was righteous. He was blameless. And the last one is he walked with God. So those four things. Yet we see in that culture, day and age, everything else was wicked. But luckily for us, there was Noah who was righteous, walking with the Lord, blameless. And so we know that who of you can be blameless, righteous, walking with God and have favor? Anybody, can you have that? Kubis, you can have that? Yes, but you can have it in Christ, right? None of us, alles hier hoe cool, can have those things but for Jesus Christ. So we looked at the parallels between the ark and Jesus and all of those things. But at the end of the day, I said the following. These words are actually found in Scripture and Jesus uttered them. Jesus himself, did you know, Jesus himself in Matthew 24 said, as in the days of Noah. Let's read that. As in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. What does it mean? Anybody, what does it mean at the coming of the Son of Man? That's code for the return of Jesus. Yes, very simply. So what Jesus himself, go check in your Bible, it's written in red. Jesus said these words. The words I heard in the Spirit in intercession was exactly the same words that Jesus quoted. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when I come back. So then I'm like, maybe we should listen to these words. Remember, this is not some YouTube video of some crazy talk. This is just very simply the Holy Spirit downloading something to us. We go back to the word. We're like, whoa, it's written here. So maybe this is a key for us for the season. For 2,000 plus years, people have constantly believed. Even Paul said, days are few. They've believed Jesus are coming back. But here's the thing. Jesus is actually coming back and you do not know when it is. Who knows when Jesus is coming back? If you put up your hand, we're either going to throw you out or you are God the Father. And I would think it's not the latter. Here's the thing. Scripture says nobody knows the exact day and time. But the Lord, being a good dad, will forewarn his children, saying, hey, my son's coming back. So as in the days of Noah, we read there, they're going to marry and get married. To the young couples, don't worry. There's nothing wrong with getting married. Eating and drinking and doing, going their merry way. What is he saying? He's saying they're going to live and live as people, and they're not going to have any idea that he is about to come back. So what are we saying to one another? Live your life, yes, but live ready. I want to ask you, if there's anything you remember, bank this in the season, live ready. Have this discussion with your kids. Hey kids, do you know Jesus came? Yeah, more. Do you know he's going to come back again? Yes. What does it mean? And if he's coming back, like Karin had that dream, waking up thinking, man, she's just checking, is Petri still there? Because one is going to be raptured, and the other one not. Out in the field, out in the mill, maybe lying in your bed. And that's the reality. And we might be a fay with all of these stories and start brushing them off. But maybe we should dust them off and realize he is coming back. And he's coming back for those that know him. So, as in the days of Noah, so it will be. So, two things that we know of these days and the days of Noah. It's pretty dark and evil. We're not going to camp there, but just look at the world. Just look at media, social media. Just look at the brokenness out there. It's pretty messed up. And we can very easily say it is as the days of Noah. And then secondly, it's going to be a bit of a surprise. We read through Matthew then, because ultimately this question or this answer from Jesus came from the question of his disciples saying, Lord, when are you coming back? When is the end of this age? And he just then said, there will be wars. Nation will rise up against nation. There will be famine. There will be earthquakes, etc. So we've seen all of these things. And then he also goes on to say in verse 10 of Matthew 24, many will turn away from the faith. Just look at the space in this church. Do you think once this place was full, not our denomination per se, there's many people, many churches using this place. If you go around to the 55 churches in this area, if you look at your family, if you look down the street, if you go check what the vibe is at work, if you go check on your feed and the friends you have on Facebook or whatever you do, do you think some people have left the faith? Anybody? Have you seen people leaving the faith? Even those that will traditionally or culturally be, let's call them Christians, people have left the faith. I do believe we are in such a season. We don't want dead religion. We want life-filled Christianity. But he's saying, hey guys, this will be clear. It'll be the fruit of that time. And he goes on to say there will be betrayal, hatred. You will, in fact, be persecuted. False prophets, deception, and then the increase of wickedness and lawlessness, we said last week. And so I think it's pretty clear that there's lawlessness out there. Again, we don't want to camp there, but we want to just be on our guard saying, we believe the Lord is saying to us, this is like the days of Noah. He's coming back. It will be sudden. We need to be careful for what? That our love will not grow cold. Quickly turn to your neighbor and ask him or her, how's your love? Godly Christian-like love. There's a couple of stern faces. Tell them now, Muni lichni. Tell them back, Muni judgni. Also sani kerk. You get the picture. We might laugh and snigger at this. But it was a battle for some of us just to be here. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Joe. Now we know. Lord, be with their hearts. In all reality, the Lord needs to keep our hearts soft. Otherwise, we will turn away from the faith. It's scriptural. It's set up there. But here's the thing. There's a couple of things I say, please remember, but remember this one as well. but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Is it the one that says that one prayer that one day way back in the altar call? No, it's the one who stands firm to the end who will be saved. I want to call us to stand firm to the end. I believe that is what we are. That is core part of this spiritual family. So we need to stand. Who would like to stand firm to the end? We've unfortunately seen other people not stand firm to the end. Yes, we pray that by grace they will be picked up just in the nick of time. But it is a reality of the battle. It's not just folk tales and old tiny stories. The thing is, after last week, we just looked each other in the eye and said, we need to be ready. So Jesus often posed a problem or threw out a question, did he not? But as Christ is a good Lord, will he ever give you or show you or point at a problem and not also show you the answer? Anybody? He will always highlight the answer. Firstly, he is the answer. But again, here in Scripture, we've read through Matthew 23, 24, but I believe just after that, he goes on and he shows us what to do. Question posed, do you want to live ready for the coming of Jesus? Some of you might be thinking, what is this man on to? But I want to ask you, do you want to live ready? Who think it might let's be funny. Who think it might be in their lifetime that Jesus returns? Put up your hand nice and high. I'm not saying it is. I love it. If Juan, who's an evangelist, puts up his hand so quickly, I'm like, yes, Jesus. There's a chance. We don't know. We're not going to be freaks and print it on our t-shirts other than what we have and go do that. No. But we're going to say in humility, Lord, please come and grip my heart. I want to make sure, grip the hearts of my daughters, Lord, that we can live ready. So this is our challenge to one another. As we arise and shine, which I believe ties in with this, let's live ready as if Christ is coming back. So how's your fire and how's your lamp? Let's jump into what I believe Jesus shows us in answer to what we need to do, because we need to live ready. Matthew 25, you know the story. Please don't switch off. Let's trust for fresh revelation in the Lord to speak to us. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins or bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were sensible. Nice 50-50 split. When the foolish took their lamps, they didn't take olive oil with them. But the sensible ones took oil in their flasks with their lamps. So they had enough fuel to burn their lamps, or at least the flames of their lamps with. Since the groom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. In the middle of the night, there was a great big shout. Here's the groom! Imagine that day. Imagine that day. Come out to meet him. Then all of these virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. They lit it, obviously, but the foolish ones said to the sensible ones, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. The sensible ones answered, no, there won't be enough for us and for you. Go instead to those who sell and buy oil for yourselves. When they had gone to buy some, the groom arrived. Then those who were ready. See that word? What are we challenging each other? Are you living ready? I'm going to say this again. Church, are you living ready? Then those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the rest of the virgins also came and said, Master, Master, open up for us. They went out, bought some oil. Now they're kind of sorted. And they're like, excuse, hello? Who's ever arrived at a party like that? Like, a bit sheepish. Did they mean us as well? Kids? And then it's very awkward. Ever been in that situation or it's just me? Okay. Hallelujah. Yes, lots of deep things we share today. Later, the rest of the virgins also came and said, Master, Master, open up for us. But he replied, I assure you, I do not know you. So there's the one word, ready. There's another word saying, I assure you, I do not know you. Het Jesus geheer verlies? Nee. But he says, I do not know you. There's no intimacy here. We don't share heart. We don't know each other.
That is a real and tough moment. Therefore, be alert, because you don't know either the day or the hour. We see how he just then obviously just echoes what we've just heard about Noah and the times of Noah, of Jesus returning. Therefore, be alert, because you don't know the hour and the time. Assure you, I do not know you. And so I believe the Lord says, here's a key. Here's a key about how to live ready. How to live ready. So let's again, when we look at these things, let's quickly look at the context, because who's ever had a wedding like that? It's an interesting wedding. Having to wait for somebody, having oil lamps, etc. But we know by now it is a parable that comes at the hand of a Jewish wedding. We don't have much time, but we can quickly look at just the symbolism. It's been a long weekend. Yeah, we do speak in tongues. Symbolic. Anyway, getting back to the Jewish wedding. So how it worked, and we're just going to look at four steps. And those of you like Tia's not here, you probably know these details much better. They know everything. But I'm just going to break it down in four things and just look at the symbolic meaning. Now, first one was the betrothal, which involved the prospective groom traveling from his father's house to the home of his bride, paying the purchase price and thus establishing the covenant. That's where they got engaged. So he goes to the father and he says, here's some gifts, like the girl. Boom, there you go. And then covenant is established. So now, where do we see that for Jesus? Jesus came what? He came from heaven, his father's house, to earth, right? To do what? To come and pay so that he may be engaged to those who believe, those who have faith in Jesus. So we as the bride of Christ, and I know some of the manly men in the room might find this weird, but just get over it, all right? It's good, godly, biblical symbolism. And it's truth. You're part of the bride of Christ. Look at a manly man and say, you're part of the bride of Christ. We're part of the bride of Christ. But the beauty is Jesus comes and he pays the purchase price. He gives his blood. In fact, he gives his life for this bride. And you can go into the depths. We can probably bank on this for 3 months, 3 years, and enjoy all the beauty of this truth. But so this covenant starts, this engagement starts. And then, as evidence of the engagement with Jesus, what do you receive? You receive the Holy Spirit. It's like wearing the ring. So if I, jokes aside, pray in tongues, it's not to be weird. It is merely the evidence that I have the Holy Spirit. It is evidence, just as much as my ring, when you engage, is evidence, outward evidence that you are engaged. Such is the fact that you can pray and that you have the Holy Spirit and walk in the gifts of the Spirit, that, hey man, that guy's on his way to a wedding. He's part of the bride of Christ. That is a beautiful, beautiful and very practical way to know that you are part of that. Let's go to the next slide, please, Joanne. The second one is that the groom's returning to his father's house. So he returns for 12 months to go what? Prepare a house. Oh, imagine these days. You'll receive Pinterest screen grabs and photos. The Liffy, net a bikkie links, net a bikkie op, net a bikkie af, te geel, te groen, te blauw. Anyway, but luckily those times there weren't any cell phone and they had no communication, so he could just kind of do his own thing. So he prepares a beautiful home for them for 12 months and then he returns only, and only his father knows when he returns. And so we know, and you can fill in the blanks, but in the symbolic part of it, Jesus, with his ascension, went back what, to his father's house. And he is preparing a place for us. How cool is that? How cool is that? He is preparing a place for us. The only thing I would ask Jesus is a braai. Please, just a braai. No, net a braai. Met hout. Nie kool of gas nie, hout. Thank you, Jesus. But he is building a house for us. Ja, daar's 'n ander plek met vuur, maar ek wil nie daai hê nie. Ek wil net 'n braai hê. All right? Amen. Anyway, so scripture says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places.
If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that there where I am, there you may be also. If our hearts can only grip the reality of this truth. I don't know what you think you're lacking in this time, but I want to say, if you believe in Jesus, you're working on the oil in your oil lamp, He is day and night preparing a place for you forever. I don't care how cool your house is or what your house here on earth might be lacking. Jesus is preparing a place for us. I think that is a reason to stay awake. Third one, and that's where we are at the moment. The third one is the groom comes back at a time not known to fetch his bride, because she's been beautified, working out her stuff. She's been opening her little house and dealing with her stuff, right? Because he's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. Demi, who are we eyeballing now? So she's readying herself, because then he comes back in the Jewish wedding, and we know by now, number three, Jesus is coming back for us, and that's exactly the tension, the pregnant tension that we find ourselves in, and saying, hey, am I ready? Am I dealing with stuff? Am I part of the bride? Is there oil in my oil lamp? Because he's coming back and I don't know the time. In the Jewish wedding, they kind of had 12 months. We don't have that figure, as far as I know. We just need to be ready. But don't just be ready to be ready. Be ready because you actually like the guy. Not, want my pa was reg, en nou is ek reg, en nou gaan my seun reg. Nee, that does not fly. I'm ready because I love him. And he's paid with his life. He changed my life. I want to be in love with him. I know that sounds weird again. Manly men. But just to fall in love with Jesus again. Knowing that nothing in this world compares with that. Anyway, so he's coming back. Only the Father knows the time. And then number four, then this Jewish guy takes his Jewish bride and they go back to his father's place. And there the conception happens. The wedding is run over 7 days, a big party. And obviously they go on living happily ever after. And on the flip side of that is Christ and us being reunited and living in eternity together. So we know now we're in this pregnant tense season or place where we are waiting for him to return. Until he returns, a couple of things that we as leaders need to do. We need to make sure we disciple people well, and we are discipled. Not only that, we need to make sure that the bride is prepared, a pure and spotless bride. So why do I call you asking, how are you doing? I haven't seen you. Is it because I want to be a pain in the neck? No. It's because you are part of the bride, and I want to make sure you've got oil, because when he returns, it's a 50-50 split. So I'm just checking, how are you waiting? Do you still remember that guy that you once fell in love with? Do you remember his eyes and the fact that you only had eyes for him? Do you still only have eyes for him because he's coming back for you? He's building you a nice place. Don't give up. Stand firm. He's coming back for you. Don't let go of your hope. That's why we love on one another, because the Lord is fixing up his bride because he's coming back. And this is the thing. I want to ask you, how are you waiting? How are we waiting? Am I waiting doing other stuff? Am I waiting now and again just bowing down before Mammon? Am I waiting just allowing other idolatrous stuff into my life? By the way, it is all a working and a work in progress in all of our lives. But I'm just putting a couple of tough questions out there. But here's the thing, because all of what we do determines the oil in our lamps. Something I heard from Joseph Prince, somebody I do trust, and he's quite hardcore. The 10 there, why 10 virgins? Why 10 bridesmaids? Apparently, a minyan is in Judaism, was the minimum number required for a community of Israel, or a community of believers, or an assembly. So he says the symbolic meaning of that is it refers to a church. It refers to a church. That's his interpretation, and I kind of like it. So we're not going to play the 50-50 game here, but let's say there's 110, 120 people, adults, in our church community. He goes on to say, hey, 50 of you guys, or 50% of you guys, 60 of you guys, 50% of you guys are carrying enough oil. But there are some of you, you have a lamp, You have a lamp. You are a Christian, but you're not carrying oil, and it might be a problem if he returns. Can't put it any lighter and more loving than that. It is a reality check, and we need to all check in the mirror of the Word of God by His Spirit and say, Lord, how's the oil? Five keys that I want to give to us, because the Lord wants to encourage us. There's no condemnation, but there is surely conviction needed. Five things. First one is be awake. Pietri said it, be awake. Are you awake at the moment? By the way, all 10 got drowsy and slept. It wasn't just 5. Notably so. It's one thing if you're not off, but at least have oil. It means that times when you were awake, you were working on the oil. Are we hearing each other? Because there's all 10 of them sleeping, but the other 5, when they were awake, weren't working on having oil. They were doing other stuff. They've lost their heart. They've lost their eyes for the bridegroom. And so here's the thing. Since the groom was delayed, they became drowsy and fell asleep. The Lord is saying to us, arise and shine. Be awake. And the Spirit needs to help us. The second thing, you need the oil of intimacy and care. That care is just, you actually care about Him. Because we can say a lot of things, but ultimately our time, funny enough, our money, and our capacity, the things we value will show if we do really care about this one coming back for us. And it will show in the oil that we do carry. What is this oil? I believe the olive oil is very simply symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And being filled and constantly refilled by the Holy Spirit. So you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but do you know that you can constantly be refilled? Who's ever walked out of church, out of worship, or out of a men's Monday or a great small group, and you're like, I'm fuller than what I came here with? Anybody like that? All 14 of you, we need to work at that. Because that is what it's supposed to do. It is time in the presence of the Lord, and it's time with one another, and it's a place where we get refilled and filled up with the Holy Spirit. You see, both of them had lamps. Both of them had a bit of oil. It is the amount of oil that differed. The time spent with the Holy Spirit, the fullness and the intimacy that you have with Christ. That is what it will matter in Him turning to you and saying, I do know you. Or turning to you and saying, I do not know you. Ephesians 5:18 says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine. And I think we can get all religious about it. It's very easy to say, do not get drunk. It's sin. Right? Do we agree on that? Excuse, do we agree on that? Yes. Yes, Pastor. I hope we do agree on that. It's sin to get drunk because the word says, do not get drunk on wine. But I heard this said and I kind of like it. Do you know that it's a command to be filled with the Spirit? Have you ever read it in that way? Because we can get all religious and say, well, you need to drink, don't get drunk. But do we go around saying, hey, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Stop mucking around in the flesh. You're bone dry and empty. You might as well be in the world. Ooh. No, it's a command. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. That, why do we come to church? Why do we go to small group? Why are we in Men's Monday? Why do we gather together? And then when we don't feel like it, when our flesh doesn't like it, we worship, we push in, we prophesy, we trust that the Lord will come. Why? To fill us again. To have His Spirit. To have the oil in our lamps. Because He's coming back. He is coming back. We don't do it just what we need. No. He says, this is how we build relationship. Have oil. It's not this nice idea for 4 people in church. Oh, they're having a cooking time. They're kind of weird. Yeah, they're weird. But they at least have oil. And when the day comes, you're like, hey, weird people, can I have some of your weird oil? No, it's not like that. Sorry, it's not like that. I'm going to work at my oil, and sorry, I'm not going to give my oil to you. My oil is too precious. As my intimacy with my wife should be precious, even more so, my intimacy with Jesus is precious because He paid for that. Sorry, I'm preaching. I guess it's part of my job. Hallelujah. So how can we be ready? And this one might throw you because we receive all by grace. We know that. But we need to pay the price for the oil. we need to pay the price for the oil. How can we be ready? Verse 9 says, the sensible ones answered, no, there won't be enough for us and for you. Go instead and those who sell, go buy for yourselves. This is a tough one, but go buy for yourself. Peter 3, does it take effort and time to worship late at night? To stand up, get up in the morning and spend time in the Word? Sorry, Peter 3, for putting you on the spot. It's not too... No, it's not to put you on the spot, but it's just an example. Does it cost you to have something and have people over for ministry Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights? Does it cost you to say no to other things like running even more and even further than to come here and to be full? Here's the thing of the gospel. Yes, it's for free, but it costs you everything. And here's what we pay. We pray for the intimacy that we do have. Well, how do we pay? By deciding to follow, by deciding to choose intimacy, by deciding to say no to the world and the worldly claims, and to say yes to the Word, yes to the Spirit, yes to praying and praying in tongues, yes to coming together in worship, yes to serving others and laying down your life. There we accumulate oil. There we see the pleasing aroma of Jesus Christ more and more in our life, because we have to know, because we have met love. If you walk out of here thinking, oh, ek moet olie kry, hell, then I've missed the mark. Then I'm sorry. That's not my heart. May the Spirit reveal to you, no, I need to fall in love with Him again. That getting the oil is nothing compared to the things that I would rather lay down. I don't care for my things of the world. You think olive oil comes through pressing, and buying is necessary. Buying works in what way? Buying, saying no to other stuff and actually buying from the Lord. And then, as we've done those things, time with Him, time in the Word, living accountable lives, being discipled, being obedient to the things that He's done because of love, then He comes back and He says, I know you. Very simple. I know you. He's not like, crazy lineal, kom ons kyk, oh, gata patat, this amper net net. That's when we go crayfishing, it's like, oh, oh, he's net nie size nie. It's not like that with Him. He will know you because you've been together this whole time through His Spirit. You know His ways, you know His Word, and you've lived intimately with Him. He will turn to you and say, I know you, come. Last three things I can just read off. You need your own oil. I've made that point pretty clearly. Sorry. Even, I love you guys, so I would gladly give you some of my oil if I have. Need to double check that. But just imagine my three daughters. Just imagine a parent sitting here. Man, if there's anything, I would want to give my oil to them. But we can't. This is the new covenant dispensation. This is the gospel truth. It is their God. Yes, we can be an example. We can help. We can implore. We can encourage. But ultimately, I need to pray, Jesus, please help Frida to carry her own oil so that she can stand firm to the end. I want her to be part. I want her to get in there before the door shuts, including the other two, obviously. It's unknown when He's coming back. That's clear. And we need to be alert. Will you stand with me? We're going to close in prayer. Lord, as we close this, thank you, Lord. We believe that you are coming and you're coming soon. Lord, we also humbly say that it might be in 5 hours or 500 years, but that being said, Lord, we want to live ready. And living ready means that I'm not only checking out for myself, but when the time is still at hand and where there's still time, we can encourage us, each other, to buy oil now before it is too late. That the door will not shut on anybody. Thank you that we do so because you love us and we've gotten to know your love. Very simply, Lord, we want to pray, come and show us the state of our lamps and our oil. Rather show it to me now than one day. If you want the Lord to, in this time, just reflect, just show you about the state of your oil lamp, just raise your hand, just as a matter of conviction, saying, Lord, show me my oil lamp. I don't want to be caught napping. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Very simply, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the helper and that you will just show us. You never condemn. You convict. And in conviction, you also bring help. That is grace. So thank you that graciously you lead us to love your word and to love fellowship, to walk in and to be part of places where we can be filled with the Spirit constantly, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. And then the last thing, Lord, ultimately we want to hear these simple words. These simple words. I know you. I know you. That word, as Adam knew Eve. I know you intimately. Not only for us, but our families and our children as well. And if you want to just hear that words one day, having to stand firm, hearing the bridegroom saying, Hallelujah, this tight, come. I know you, come. If you want to hear those words one day, just raise your hand and say, Lord, here's my life. Thank you, Lord. You see our hearts. Help us. Thank you that you are more committed to us. You are more faithful than us. Hallelujah. And your love is more sweeter and more beautiful. Help us to walk this out and to one day hear these words. Not only us, but our loved ones as well. And where we need to petition and stand in the gap and fight for somebody's soul and their will in this time, remind us. Let us not selfishly wait until you come again. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, Amen.